Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from Romans chapter 8. It can be found on page 1757. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 28 and going to verse 39. Let us hear these words. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So far the reading of God's word, and may it be a guiding light unto our path. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I were a televangelist, I might begin this sermon by telling you how prosperous you will be if you just have enough faith, because you know that all of your problems, all of your financial woes, all of your health issues are directly related to the amount of faith you have. So if you have lots and lots of faith, then your pocketbook will be full this year. You'll be worry-free. Things will go well for you, and your health will be better than ever. That, my friends, is what we call the prosperity gospel. Have enough faith and all will be well. And the opposite is true too. If you lack faith, then it is only right that you should be poor, sad, and lonely. Yes, if I were a televangelist, I might also begin by telling you to take a leap of faith and donate to the church, since the Bible says that God will bless a cheerful giver. And I do it with a big smile on my face, the model and paragon of worry-free living. If it was that simple. It's true that those who trust in the Lord will be better equipped to face whatever challenges lay ahead. And we all know that there will be challenges. Faith doesn't remove crosses and trials, but it does help one to endure them when they come. But it is a lie to say that everything will be great and you'll be perfectly happy if you just have enough faith. Scripture makes no such promises. Jesus did say, however, that the student is not above his teacher. The servant is not above his master. If Christ suffered in the flesh, do we expect to get be unscathed by the world? If Christ was put to death, do we expect to avoid suffering and death? So Scripture does not say that if you are a Christian, if you just have enough faith, you will avoid all this. It does say, however, that such things cannot separate one from the love of Christ. Here again, these words from the apostle in Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God the Father, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul doesn't say that everything will go well for you. Who knows? Maybe your business will crumble. Maybe you'll lose your job. Maybe a dear family member will die. It could happen. But Paul says none of this can change the fact that God loved us and gave his son into death for us. No, in fact, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Notice, though, that it is through him who loved us. We dare not think that we can gain the victory of conquer such things on our own or by our own willpower. It is through or by the means of him who loved us. Paul goes on to say, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, or nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, says the apostle, can separate us from God's love in Jesus. We might add to that list poor health, family problems, low income, a lost job, and the list could go on and on and on. Even our sins do not separate us from God's love. For it says, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died for us. Though our lives will change every day, every week, every month, though trials will come, there is one thing that does not change, and that is the love of God. That is one thing we will never need to be uncertain of. We have as a seal of that love our baptism. We have a constant pledge and token of that love in Christ through the holy sacraments, which we will be celebrating today. Every time we remember our baptism, every time we come to the Lord's table, that love of God is sealed for us and made known to us until the end of time. What can separate us from that love is unrepentance. That is one thing that can make us have a terrible, terrible time. It makes no Christian sense to seek God's blessing and forgiveness without at the same time seeking his help in turning from our sins. It makes no sense to come to the sacrament by which Christ's forgiveness is given and sealed to us, only to leave the Lord's table with no intention of amending one's sinful life. Our sins will not separate us from God's love, provided that we repent, provided that we continually seek out his mercy in Jesus. For Paul says in another place, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None, zip, no condemnation. If you fall into sin and repent, trusting in Christ's forgiveness, you are not condemned. Your sins are forgiven. You are free. Every Sunday morning, when you come together, one of the parts of your service is a call to confession, and then a prayer of confession, and then there's that declaration of pardon. You're coming before God, saying, Lord, please forgive me, cleanse me, renew me. But where there is no repentance, then neither is there forgiveness. An unrepentant heart is one that refuses to acknowledge one's own sin, desires not the forgiveness of sins, and has no intention of amending one's sinful life. This is a dangerous pit that every Christian needs to avoid. Sometimes we tend to think of repentance only in the terms of those really big sins like idolatry or murder, and we think that it matters not if we continue in the small sins like being irritable or angry or impatient without repentance. But make no mistake, these too need to be confessed and forgiven. Martin Luther said in regard to baptism, every day is a day of contrition and repentance for the Christian. Of all the resolutions and promises we make to ourselves and to God when we begin each day, each month, each year, this ought to be at the top, that we daily repent of our sins and trust anew in God's mercy. Second on the list should be that instead of fretting and worrying about things that we have no control over, instead of trying to live our lives of everything dependent on us, we commend all things into the hands of God. For the psalmist has said, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. How then does the Christian proceed? With fear and trepidation? With guilt and shame of our past sins? Trusting in himself? No. He does so as one who is covered by the righteousness of Christ's blood. We do so as one who is freed from the guilt and condemnation of sin, free from the bondage of the devil, free from the fear of death. We do so in faith, not the kind of faith that thinks nothing bad will happen, but the kind of faith that clings to God and trusts his promises in spite of trials and crosses, indeed in the midst of them. In faith, we look forward to what God has in store for us. It is something that challenges us or something new that the Lord wants us to do, but we also look back to what God has already done for us, for all the blessings he has provided. If you and I look back at our lives, whether it's been a short period of time or a lengthy period of time, we probably could make a very long list of the many blessings that have taken place in our lives. Today, it is fitting that we give thanks to the Lord for his constant and loving protection in every time of need and for every unseen blessing. Most of us are unaware of the constant danger that we are in. Much of it we cannot see. We cannot see the cursed devil hounding us and threatening us, nor can we see the holy angels protecting us. One cannot imagine what would happen if God would, for 1 minute, withdraw his protecting hand from us. Life is fragile, and the only people who may have some sense of this fragility are those who maybe have fought in a war. But you know it too. You feel it in your own bodies. You see it in the suffering of your neighbors and your loved ones. Thanks be to our Creator for his ongoing care and preservation of our bodies and souls. I'm no televangelist, so I can't promise you that you're going to be prosperous if you have just enough faith. I can only say what Scripture has said and promise what Scripture promises. God's word promises that he will be your help and your shield. It promises grace and every blessing to those who believe. It promises that nothing, nothing can separate us from his love, which is in Christ Jesus. Trials will come. We can be certain of that. There will be good times too. And for that, we shall bless the Lord as well. Who knows what kind of natural disasters there will be, what health struggles there will be, or what the economy will do. No one but the Lord. Be certain of this, friends. God's love in Jesus is for you. God bless you and with his grace. And Spirit. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we could hear about your love for us. And there's nothing that can separate us from your love. Nothing. Lord, we give thanks for that. You have shared that love through your Son who died on the cross for each and every one of us here and for those others around us in our neighborhoods. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit will continue to show us that love and that we can express that love to others around us to let them know that God's love is so great. And that if they repent too, there is nothing that will separate them from God's love. Because God's love is for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.